1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. We're getting ready to do radio fishing some more. Okay? That's going to be one of those warnings, I can tell. Okay, everybody polka. I got a Polish girlfriend. Okay, we ready to go polka today now. I've been up, I've been down, I go out, and I've been outside, and I was going to go out to ice fishing today, but there's no ice. There's no sunshine either, though. I mean, what a gloomy freaking day.
The Polish hockey team drowned.
The Polish hockey team drowned.
Spring training.
Okay. Let's see. We have Fish and Frank here, and it is January 9th, 2014. We got Robert over there in the side chair. Say good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Okay. We got Captain Morse Campbell. Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning. I was sitting out there, and Morris, you've been looking at some huge bass out there. Is the water that clear now?
The water's very clear. I was down at the Webb, just walking around the shoreline and looking around for, some pre-spawn bass or some spawn bass, and found a whole bunch of pre-spawn bass. They're not bedding yet, but they're pretty good-sized fish. Some are up 8-9 pounds.
And they're actually... These are big fish you're just watching from the shore, huh?
Just watch them from the shoreline. Look at them real close.
You described them as kind of footballish.
They were as big around as they were long, and some of them were 24 inches long, 25 inches long. So
that's some nice fish. That's some real nice fish. Yeah, there's... that's out at, what, Cecil Webb?
Yeah, the Webb there off of...
Tucker's Grade. Yeah. And that's kind of one of your, little go hide places, isn't it?
It is. It's one of those places you can go fish when the wind's blowing 20, and you can find a place out of the wind to fish there and usually catch some fish, even when it's nasty weather.
Yeah, and it really sounds kind of... so you didn't even need a boat. You just went and walked along the beach. What'd you go over by the first ramp, second ramp, third ramp?
I like the end ramp area down there. I like that one the best.
The further south?
Mm-hmm.
And just walking along the shore, he's seeing 6 pound plus bass just walking along the shores. Now, you said it was pretty finicky. They weren't really looking at much of anything.
No, I presented probably 8 or 10 different lure presentations to them, and they didn't show any interest at all. The only thing I could interest them in was just a little finesse worm, a little 4-inch finesse worm.
And you just put a little number 4 hook in it?
Little number 4 Gamagatsu or owner hook, tiny hook. One of the tricks that we do with that, instead of just hooking the worm through the head and rigging it Texas style or open hook style, just go in maybe a 16th of an inch past the head and just hook into the worm and then right back out. And that makes it fall. It makes it wiggle a little bit better when it falls.
So instead of going in the end of the worm, you go back about an eighth, quarter inch, hook it through, get some of the plastic, and then feed the hook in to kind of curl the worm just a touch at the nose.
Yeah, now, just leave the hook completely exposed there.
Did you have a weight on it at all? Or
I tried them with weight, the drop shot weight, and nothing wanted it presented like that. But if you threw it out and just let it fall dead and fall to the bottom, then they would take a look at it, and one actually picked it up and caught a nice one on it.
Well, I was thinking about a plow jockey or maybe a pier boy, something like that, because they're curled. If you just tied that on and just dropped it out, that would give a nice drop presentation to it.
Yeah, there was no retrieve actually required. I mean, if they saw it, it would work. The plow jockey and the pier boy are very good worms. They're really old school. They come from back when I was a kid.
I think I'm the only one that still carries them.
They catch a lot of bass. I actually taught my son Chris. We used to bass fish a whole lot together, and I'd like to teach him the old methods. The old topwater, old wooden prop baits. Those kind of things.
And the Smithwick, the Devil Horse.
Going way back and.
Then, I still carry them. I got Devil Horse as a stocker on the wall. I mean, that's a staple.
I have at least 8 Devil Horses in my topwater box.
And, I've got jitterbugs, hula poppers, a lot of that old school stuff, because there's a reason it's been around for 75, 80 years. They still work.
And if you'll notice on your BAS tours and all your professional bass tours right now, the guys are going back and they're fishing top water because they're discovering all of a sudden, rediscovering, that you catch bigger quality fish on top water lures than you do cranking or, you know, spinner baiting usually.
I was kind of disappointed to hear the scatter wrap wasn't attracting those fish out there.
The scatter wrap, they're just too cold. It was not the time for an erratic crankbait.
Now, next week, if it warms up, if we get some sunshine. Now, we're supposed to get some rain today, which is going to help everything. With nice, cool weather, we get a good rain across the back side of that. That's going to be nice. It's actually not bad out today. No. I mean, I went from having, woolly underwear and T-shirts and shirts and jackets now, down to a shirt. Mm-hmm. So, it's actually, the weather's a lot better. But if you're going to go out, go south from Fish and Frank's down 41, and when you get past Punta Gorda and you get through a big open area and all of a sudden you're going to come to a traffic light in the middle of nowhere, that's Tucker's Grade. Just make a left. It'll take you right over I-75. It's $3 to get into the park. You got to pay
all-day use.
And I think it's $26 a year for a management permit. If you're going to do it a lot, it's a little cheaper. But just to go out there, just pay the $3. And when you get onto the property, pay your $3, but you want to make that first right-hand turn, go all the way down to the last boat ramp. There's one about 200 yards in, and then the next one in the narrows, and then the next one's all the way at the very back end of it. Mm-hmm. And big bass back there. If you're looking to get that 6-8 pounder, what do you think taking a regular night crawler, a real night crawler, mm-hmm. and using that same trick you did on that plastic worm?
I think they would probably bite a night crawler. I wouldn't use a wiggler or anything smaller like that. But
a full size night crawler.
Yeah.
Just with a number 4 hook in it. Just, put that hook right in the end of it and just let the no weights, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Just toss that worm out there and just let it alone.
Yeah, absolutely, that worked. But something we need to mention is, that is a very light tackle presentation, and a lot of people shy away from using really light tackle for bass, but to do that properly, you would use like a 6 to 8 pound line.
Yeah, just
monofilament. Braid doesn't allow that to fall that way.
If you're going
to
try this and you got braid and line on your reel, just come in and we can throw about 10-20 yards of 6-8 pound mono on the top of it for you. And that's what you're going to need, because you can't use braid in this. It's too visible. The fish are going to see it. You got to have, just regular clear mono for this.
Mm-hmm. Even a fluorocarbon would work good, too.
Yeah. I think I got some 6-pound fluorocarbon we could top shot for people.
That'd be ideal.
And all you need to do is, it's just a top shot. It's figure extra long leader, because you're not going to use more than 50 feet.
No.
And, it's either going to work or it's not. And just cast it out there with that number 4 short shank hook. Little, like you would for more of what I would think of as a saltwater hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a regular night crawler.
Almost like a little sheep's head hook or something, but it's a finer wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I got it. What do you think, Robert?
I think that's pretty interesting. I like learning the new techniques or...
Old techniques. When it's me and Morris, it's probably an old technique being rediscovered again.
Well, yeah, and it happens all the time. I mean, we see it. Everyone's always looking for the newest, latest, greatest thing, and we tell them all the time, this is what works, and to have it refreshed into your brain, especially in the freshwater aspect of it, is pretty neat. Because, I love throwing plastic worms. I'm a horrible lure fisherman for bass. Morris made me catch a lot of fish a couple years ago on hard baits, but prior to that I couldn't catch a bass in a 5-gallon bucket with a
I'm gonna say,
with worms
for a young
no
man
problem.
You got an old man's memory. You and I have been in Okeechobee a couple of times fishing, and you did great.
I caught them all on worms though.
You caught them on we switched over to that. Remember when David, you and I both had our rigs and we were going to do it, and we finally caught a fish with our rig, and then we switched over to that worm David had, that new plastic worm.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a ribbon tail, it wasn't a standard worm. You had your rig,
I
had mine.
That salty stick kind of.
Yeah, and right. We were both stubborn, and Dave was like 8 fish ahead of us by the time we finally caught a fish.
Right. But like soft plastics, I have a lot of confidence in for bass fishing. No problem. My own worm, frog, something along those lines, even a paddle tail. But I know with a worm I can catch a bass in any state at any time of the year. I have enough confidence with that. But when it comes to hard baits, I have no confidence.
I like hard baits on bass. I mean, especially top waters or like the shad wraps or the new scatter wrap stuff.
Right.
I do a lot of that. That's more of what I enjoy doing bass fishing. I like watching them smack those hard bodies.
Well, Robert, I do believe you have a little more confidence now in the Smithwick Rogue.
Well, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
the Rattling Rogue.
How many bass did you catch that day, Robert?
25, 30, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
like 8 pounds.
Yeah, we're going back to late 80s, early 90s baits that just ruled the world for a long time on those, and now they're like $5-6, inexpensive, and they work. And that blue, silver, orange Rattling Rogue is one of my all-time classics. If you are going to the east coast of Florida and you want to catch snook, come in and get that. It's blue back, silver sides with an orange belly Rattling Rogue, and that is the best snook lure over there I've ever seen. I mean, I can't even imagine you could catch more snook with another lure than you can on that old Rattling Rogue. I went over there with 6 of them. We were doing a big job for the feds, and we had to go way back up to Tomoka, up past I-95. And when we got up to that bridge, luckily, this never happened, guys, because the federal officers on the boat and everybody, we did not stop and catch fish. We were not out there on federal time stopping and fishing. That never happened. And it never happened that I was catching all these fish, then finally lost it, we were not catching snook, we were not catching bass, we were not catching all these things. I finally did not catch a big bowfin. And those bowfins are monster fighters.
They fight hard.
And this one had to be pushing 10 pounds. Big bowfin. Nice. Finally, it did not actually get right up next to the boat, slam its head down, and snap my line, taking my Rattling Rogue. And I turned around to go get one, and I'm like, I had 6 of them, and everybody's fishing them. I finally had to cut one off somebody else's line. It's my lure, guys.
That's right.
If you would want them, you should remember. I can't remember how many snook and everything we caught that day. But when you get back up there in those creeks like that, just like you can do here on the Micah River, the Caloosahatchee, the Peace River. In the canal system where you can catch bass and snook laying right next to each other. And that's so much fun because you never know which one you're getting. And, you know, you've got this monster fish one time and then this other type of fight. And it's just a riot. And that Rattling Rogue is a great plug for that.
It sure is. And it's caught many bass for me. And some of the colors that we like for bass are that you have a baby bass pattern, which seems to work real good. Robert caught all of his on a black back, silver sides with a bone belly, and any black and gold in our tannic stained waters is usually really good.
I like the reds and golds a lot too. I always talk about that one because one of my buddies over there told me about it, and that, you know, combination. And I use it out of Placida all the time. It's I've switched over to the Bomber, same color pattern, but it's a suspending lure, and I can get a little more depth out of it. I get a few more fish out of the Bomber in the same pattern. And the only reason I went from the Smithwick to the Bomber was because of a little more depth. I could control it better against the currents at the Placida or Algebine.
Now some of the Smithwicks now they are suspenders. And they will actually suspend deep that you have in the store, and those work really well in certain situations where you can, snook or bass. I mean, the technique's almost identical. You'll get this down to depth, maybe 3 feet. These will actually go 3-4 feet, and when you get them down to depth, you'll give it a hard twitch and then pause it and let it sit for maybe 3-4 seconds, and then give it another couple twitches, and you get some just massive strikes on these things when they're sitting there.
It's so hard to tell people, just get it down there and stop for a while. And they're looking at you. But if you don't stop, especially, I mean, snook really like that start, stop. Trout. Now, redfish, I always find a little more slower, continuous movement seems to work for me a little better in redfish. But for snook and trout, if you're not stopping, I don't think you're going to catch fish. Not as many.
But that works true for pretty much every fish. I mean, people don't realize how powerful pause is for an action. You know, even with a soft plastic worm, throw it out there and let it sit. Switch it a little bit, let it sit, just like he was talking about earlier. Same way with a suspending bait. Same way with a topwater bait. You work a topwater bait, twitch it a few times, pause, wait until the rings disappear, and then start twitching it again. People just seem to overlook that that motion on any lure. And the best way to describe it, for what I've explained to some people, it's like, what happens if somebody goes to spill something on you? You do one of two things. You either jump full force out of the way, or you hesitate for a split second, like, uh-oh.
Freeze.
And then you move again. Bait fish do the exact same thing. There's times where they just scatter and blast away, and then there's other times where you can watch where a predator's coming up on, you know, a fish is coming up on a bait fish, and that bait fish is just kind of twiddling along, and then all of a sudden hesitates for a second, and whack. You know, it's, people don't realize how great of an action that is.
Stop is as big a movement as go.
That's absolutely
right. So, anyway, now, we're sitting here, and I have not had enough caffeine, not enough coffee to be doing this yet this morning. Don't know what's going on here, but I am slowly fading into oblivion. If I don't get some coffee pretty soon, I'm just, I think you're going to find me in a kind of a rubbery mess laying here in the chair.
Curled up in the fetal position, sucking your thumb.
Yes, I think that's going to be it.
Coffee.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I don't know why I had to throw that in, but I'm just fading. I don't know what's wrong with me this morning. No coffee. See, I haven't enough coffee to remember I need coffee. So, more dire need of a cup of coffee than any other white man in history. So, anyway, Morris, what else has been going on? You do any saltwater this weekend?
Haven't done any saltwater this weekend.
Too windy, too cold, right?
You know, we fished all the way up until January 4th, and we did a lot of fishing. Inland because of the cold weather and the windy weather in particular.
I just thought of something. A guy was showing me some pictures. We were up at Luigi's last night. We did a big thing on Sheephead. We had a packed house. It was a lot of fun. But the funniest thing is, people, you've caught some monster pinfish. This guy caught a pinfish that was at least 12, if not 13 inches long. He had no idea what it was, and he was showing me the pictures. He said, man, you passed up some good eating there. People don't really realize how good eating pinfish are.
Now, I have a giant pinfish story, and I actually ate the fish, and it was very good, like you're saying. It was better than a sheephead, I think.
It's tasty fish.
We used to, as a young man in my early 20s, we used to fish the 22nd Street Causeway area down at Port of Tampa, and we would fish around the mercury vapor lights for snook at night with big hand-picked shrimp. And topwater lures, things like that. Well, I was working a hand-picked shrimp under one of the lights by one of the ships. This was long before 9/11, so you could get right in there and fish.
Yeah.
I thought I had
to get rid of our last two presidents with this. What a nicer place this would be.
Mm-hmm. And long story short, I thought I had a big sheephead on, played it just like a sheephead, got it up there, and I had a pinfish that was between 3 and 4 pounds. It was a monster pinfish. It was the biggest pinfish I'd ever seen.
That's record.
And I filleted it. I put it in the box. I said, yeah, something that big that eats a shrimp has to be good to eat. And it was delicious. Yeah. Never seen one anywhere near that size again.
No, this one was one of the larger ones I've ever seen. It was probably 13 inches. And the guy was sitting there, I got a size 12 shoe. And he took a picture of it next to his foot. And it was a little bigger than a size 12 shoe. So that's a lot of meat, and he couldn't believe that he threw away all that because he was out to get dinner, you know.
Good eating.
I was like, oh, and he had sand bream, threw a sand bream back, didn't know what it was.
Another good eating fish.
Excellent eating.
Yeah, but he did the right thing by not being able to identify it, throw it back.
On the sand bream, something, this is a great time of year for sand bream up in the canals, and something your customers may be interested in, and one of the best ways to catch those is to come in and just get some wigglers like you would use for bluegill and just fish those wigglers around your pilings on your docks and the canals.
What I do is I take a crappie jig or take a beetle spin, get rid of the spinner, and slice a piece of shrimp meat up, and I use between a quarter and eighth inch of shrimp meat, peel it, and dash it right on the hook, right on the point of the hook. If you fold it around the bend, even on that number 6 hook on a crappie jig, they'll pick it off the back. So you got to keep that, make sure the tip stays covered. But I throw crappie jigs in the canals for those, and you can even put one under a bobber, especially the ones with the little hair on the back. The twin rubber tail one does good, but the ones with the hair, I think, were sold out again. But that's an amazing bait for those. I use the same thing on spadefish.
Mm-hmm.
and those crappie jigs, they work great on those fish. I mean, the sand brim's just basically a saltwater crappie. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
Tastes good, too.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best-eating fish we have. And so you can do the spade fish, which is tough to clean, a little grayer meat, but or you can do the sand brim the same way. But worms work good on them?
They work terrific on them. And in my method, I used to live, again, early 20s, back in the 80s, I lived on the Alifi River up in the Tampa Bay Basin there before I came down and started guiding in this area. And I would fish around our pilings on the river, and I would just use like a number four hook, a J hook, and I would use the tiniest split shot, maybe 12 inches above that, and just drop that around the pilings and just let it sit on a slack line. The sand brim would actually snorkel. They have a little snorkel mouth, and they'll suck it up.
That's
and just
the weirdest
swim
thing.
Right off with it.
Yeah, they have that really elongated mouth. It seems like they could actually stay upright and then just move their mouth down to pick off the bottom.
Yes.
How that mouth evolved on those things is amazing, but you can always tell a sand brim, Mohara, Silver Jenny, it's all the same fish, different, many, many different names for that one, because the mouth pulls way out. And great eating fish, but I have never used wigglers on them, so I'm actually kind of curious about that. I got to try
that. Really well.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that a try.
And you'll be surprised at the sheep's head you'll catch doing that, too.
Really?
Sheep's head love worms, too.
Now, my dad used night crawlers on sheep head many times, and it makes sense because they're eating the worms out of the barnacles. Mm-hmm. Barnacles basically have a little worm inside of them. And when they crunch the shell, they're getting that little worm out of the inside. So it kind of makes sense.
Well, and people don't realize most everybody associates a worm with dirt, you know, compost or whatever. But the ocean and even all the tidal flats and stuff like that have thousands of different species of worms that exist in the water. You know, usually you'd associate it as an eel or something, but there's microscopic worms to some of these worms.
Well, the tarpon go to the
15.
Keys for that big
That's
worm
right.
hatch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge worm hatch in the Keys. And I've always said, you know, I understand why they don't promote it, because I don't think they want the tourists thinking, you know, okay, we're going to go to the Keys and there's going to be a billion worms hatching out swimming all through the water. You know,
right.
I guess it probably doesn't go with beautiful beaches swimming, millions of worms all swimming through the water. But
exactly.
That's what happens. And that's why the tarpon go there once a year. After they leave us, they go down and they catch that worm hatch down the Keys.
Yeah.
And but that's, but if somebody comes in and they ask me, what should I use for bait? Worms or whatever? I'm going to still say no, take a bag of shrimp.
Yeah, I mean, shrimp's by far the bottom of the food chain as far as being the most productive. But if you're patient and you want to try something different, it can be pretty nice.
Mm. You know? Yeah, if you want to specifically target like your sand brim, around your canal docks and everything like that, or if you live in the river, Peace River, or something like that, and you know there's sand brim there but you can't catch them, that's definitely a proven method to catch them is on the wigglers.
Okay. Well, we're running a little bit long here, but I'm going to have you back, Morris, and between now and the next time, I'm looking for some different ways of catching tilapia. I get asked about tilapia constantly, and I don't know anyone better to figure out a technique or an old technique, new technique. Get you back and let's talk about tilapia fishing.
Okay.
You know, what to use, what kind of maybe artificials, maybe a couple live baits. I've got some ideas and we'll discuss what my ideas, your ideas. Mm-hmm. We'll do a thing on tilapia here pretty soon.
I've been pretty successful catching tilapia.
I knew you would be, but we're going to save that for the next show.
That's a big surprise there.
Yeah, I mean, can you catch Hochen in Deutschland? Oh, yeah, I can do that. You know, it's like it's one of my bucket list fish is, you know, if I'm going to go out and catch something. I tried for the 6 years I was working out of Europe. I worked there for almost 6 years, and I never caught a Hochen. And I really would like to. It's like a trout with giant teeth. I hit one in the head with a lure one day.
There you go.
And literally, true story, we'll talk about that sometime. But anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and we've got music playing in the background. That means they want us out of here, and I don't blame them today. You know, today's not a day I should be allowed to you know, intermingle with the human populations. But this is Fish and Frank, and don't you know we'll be back on the next Fish and Radio here at Fish and Frank's, exclusively on fishandfranks.com. Thank you, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.